morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Oh. Good morning, everyone. This is Jennifer Lamprey, and I am the CEO of I Love My Body Diet. I am also hosting this radio show. We're going to be starting up again every Wednesday at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And today, we have our beautiful Beth Banning on. So excited, so grateful for her. She is the author of Interviewed by God, a wonderful book. I actually have a couple copies in my home and have read them a few times and highly recommend this, the read. She is an author and also is teaching us about how to take our, today she's going to be talking about how to take our big insights that we have, our inspirations, and maintain the change on a daily basis. And so I am so thrilled to have Beth. Beth, hello. Hello, Beth. Uh-oh, can you hear me?
Hear,
oh, there we go.
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? It cut off. Yeah, I can now. It cut off just for a second, but we have you again.
All right. And we don't really want to sit here and do a Verizon commercial, so. Hello?
No.
That's so
true.
Hi, Jen. Hi,
everybody. Hi, Beth. Thank you for being on. It is cutting out a little bit. I don't know if it's my phone or yours,
yeah.
So hopefully it will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll just keep going.
Yeah. But you hear me?
Well, that's what it's kind of like blurring out. So, but again, we'll see.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Is this better when I do this?
Yes.
Or is it about the same? I wonder if I'm speaking into a different microphone than I think I am. So hold on. I'll move this one over to we'll just do both of them. I don't know. I thought I was
Yeah, it sounds perfect now.
Okay. Then we'll do that.
All right. Okay.
So anyway,
perfect.
Excited about the topic. You know, when we were talking what your community, where they were at, what was happening, what people might enjoy, you know, this topic came up. And I was really excited because I understand it from personal experience.
Mm.
So, you know, anybody really. You okay if we just jump in? Because I know we have a half hour.
I want you to jump right in.
Okay, because I have a lot to cover, so, and a lot of pieces, because it really takes effort and commitment, honestly. So the topic,
mm-hmm.
for those of you that don't know, is really how do you maintain and integrate new insights into your life? We all have them, and especially people who are into personal growth or spiritual development or really any kind of self-betterment, even if it's just your own desire to be that fullness of yourself, you know, because we all, we're brought up in a society that, you know, kind of hinders really self-realization. So when that happens, we really have to be more committed to it, honestly. So, you know, from my own personal experience, I know that when I go and do an event or read a book or watch a inspirational video or anything like that, and I feel I can glean something in there, it's almost like it wants to have its way with me. Do you know? It's that insight that you go, I get that. I feel the truth in that, and you sense it, even like when you watch a video, but then what do you do with it? So, you know, especially when you go to an event. So like as an example, and, you know, we were talking and I know you had an event at your house. And when, you know, I've gone to events, you know, you go and that there's what happens is, especially at a live event, happens in a virtual one as well, but at a live event, it's kind of intense. What happens is you go, and the group of people kind of create this almost weird vortex, and they're there, and they help awaken you and support you. And I'm just going to use one example of the many insights or you know, it's not even let's talk about it and it'll grow because it's more than an insight. And so let's talk about like speaking your truth, you know, so often, and especially in this society, we're really not, we're taught to hide and defend and, you know, and not show all our cards and, you know, that kind of thing. So you go to an event like this and people help awaken this idea in you of speaking your truth. And you're there and you feel kind of that joy about that bubble up and the freedom can evoke in you. But this group of people wants it, like as a group, wants it to be more than a concept. Everyone encourages you to speak your truth, and you know, they help hold you accountable to speaking your truth. And then when you speak your truth, they even celebrate you for doing it. So that feels like amazing, right? You know how, you know what I'm talking about when I say this,
I do.
Right?
I know exactly, and I love how you're breaking it down like this.
Yeah, so like everybody gets it, they feel it. Well, it doesn't just feel great. This experience expands you. It begins to change you. And when you leave the event, you are actually different than when you arrived. But what happens is, and this is really what I see people get so frustrated with all the time, is they leave the event and they go home to the people who only know you as the person that you were when you left. That's the person they know. They don't know what happened to you. So the environment you come home to is very different than the environment that was created at the event. And again, it's created at the event. It's not even a planned thing. It happens because of the people who are there. So what do you do? How do you maintain? And that's really what this call is about. How do you maintain that feeling of joy and freedom? Because that really, any insight, it like bubbles this joy up in you and you feel the sense of what it could feel like to be free. So how do you continue, using that example, to speak your truth and allow that? So this is really where we're at. And what I have found over and over again is it's essential to get conscious about what prevents you before you start trying to integrate something. Because if you're not conscious of all those things, you don't have that contrast. You won't notice those things that are preventing you when maybe you make a commitment to, you know, I'll talk about the things to do later, but you really need to know what's preventing you, or at least some of the things, so you have that contrast and you go, oh, that's one of those things that's preventing me, so that you can be conscious and then make a choice. Does that make sense, Jen?
Yes, and I'm really excited to hear it.
Okay.
No, I am.
Okay.
This is so perfect.
I believe you.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So what prevents us? That's the question. What prevents us from coming home and taking this thing that is so palpable in us? You know, we can feel it. It's like there. And what prevents us from maintaining that sense? So I already mentioned a few of the things. So one of them is that the people at the event and the people at home see you differently. They see you differently. And we live into a vision of ourselves outside ourselves. We just do. We're taught to that outside, that reflection outside of us is all important. So it really is something that like changes us. You know, for good or for bad, you know, my thing is that, you know, once we get more connected to our own internal guidance, when we are more motivated from internal sources than extrinsic sources, you know, this world will change, but we are where we are, you know? So it's like you have to look at the reality of what is in order to help support you do something differently than you're doing now. So really, that person at the event and the person coming home were really two different people in a way. The environment at home and the environment at the event are different and help support these different aspects of ourselves. Now, again, all those things are us. We couldn't become something if they weren't already in us. So it's not like you're losing it, but what happens is you come home and the reflection back is of that person who left. So that's one of the things that prevents us. So the next thing is at the event, there is a commitment to learn and grow. You went there for that. Whether it's spoken or unspoken, you have committed to it. And that's a huge difference. And when you get home, you haven't made the same kind of a commitment to yourself. You know, we just haven't. We kind of, which is the next thing, we just fall back in to our old habits. And that's the next thing that prevents us. The person we always were and the things we always did just kind of fall back into place. You know, we've been doing them so long. Watch my dog. I have this little 6-pound poodle, and she's the cutest little thing. But she is like the most habitual, like you can watch. It's like she looks for routines. Routines make her feel comfortable, and they make us feel comfortable. It's like a safety mechanism. Do you know what I mean? It if we know what we're about to do next, we feel comfortable. So we fall back into those same routines so easily because we want to feel comfortable. And when people, hold on one second, I just need to cough. But the other speaker was on, right? You heard me cough?
No, we didn't.
No. Oh, okay, so it is this one. I don't know. Who knows what
it's
speaker
perfect.
I'm talking it to. It's so
perfect.
Funny. All right, so these habits and these routines that we fall back into, the ones that are essential to be conscious of in this conversation, there are going to be a lot of them, and we all have different ones, and you need to pay attention to those. But the really typical ones that keep us from integrating new insights or that aspect of ourselves to grow and flourish, one of them is the habit, and we talk about this in the Insight Coaching Program, is the habit of looking for what's wrong and what's not working. It's like we are always looking for the worst possible scenario. And the reason we're doing this is to protect ourselves. All three of these habits are that I'm about to talk about are self-protection. So again, if anything, as you're listening to this, listen to it more from the mindset of growth rather than there's something wrong or bad here. Do you know? It just as this habit I'm talking about wants us to go, oh, look at all the bad things I'm doing. Because of this habit I'm talking about, what I'd like you to do is go, okay, if I see this, what do I do instead? So that's how I want you to listen to this whole thing if you can. So this habit of looking for the worst possible scenario, again, there's even a saying, you know, if I can prepare for the worst, I'm okay. Do you know? So that's exactly what this is. So we're just preparing for the worst, but we don't have to. So it's like just a habit of our culture. You know, so that's one of the things you need to look for, and that's what prevents us. The other one is because we are in the self-protection mode, change becomes our enemy. Change becomes our enemy because anything different, that's why routines are so comfortable, because you don't know what's going to happen next when things change. So you come home, you've changed, right? This thing in you has blossomed, right? And so you fall back in, you see these people who don't see you the same as the people at the event saw you, and you get scared because change is our enemy. So that's another thing you need to work for. And all these things I'm talking about, these habits, these are all under the surface. You're not going to notice them unless you look, go, oh, is that there? And what do I do about it? So the next piece of that habit that we fall into is this habitual busyness. Even when I say it, I want to take a breath. Habitual busyness. We are in this culture and so many cultures. We think we have to stay busy, or we're not effective. We're not worthy. We're not, oh my gosh, so many things we're not if we just don't stay busy. But this really prevents that new seed to take hold, like to douse that new seed, because you come home and this seed has blossomed in you, and then you get right back into your busyness without like consciously taking time to nurture it. It can't grow. A seed that isn't cared for can't grow. So those are really the things that prevent you, and they prevent you because you're not conscious of them. You need to be conscious of them. So what do you do about all these things now that you're conscious of them? And I've got 5 steps, and I love little step things because you can kind of remember them easily. I really wanted to, put it into like an acronym or something, but it didn't work. So there are 5 steps. I wanted to go something like, because I like those things. So if anybody can think of some way to put it into a, like, an acronym or some kind of something like that, they're easy to remember. And I love those kinds of things, but it didn't work for this one. But if you can think of one, they help. So I wanted to make it something like keep it, keep it. You could go through the letters, but like I said, it didn't work. But here are the 5 steps. Ready?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I have my pen.
So, okay, good. So the first step is when you come home, make a commitment to continue the growth and expansion that you experienced. Make a commitment. Again, at the event, whether you know it or not, you made a commitment. So when you come home and you're in a different environment, it's essential to make a conscious commitment to continue the growth and expansion you experienced at the event. Now, the second part of this first step is get buy-in from the people around you. They don't know what happened at the event, and really most of the time you don't tell them. You really don't. You kind of tell them what happened at the event, and it was cool, and oh, it was great, and maybe you told them that. Oftentimes, we come home especially to an environment that doesn't see us in that light, and we get very self-protective because what we're afraid of is that we'll criticized or put down or, poo-pooed. You know what I mean? So often we don't even tell them that, no, really, I came home different. I came home different, and I want you to see me different. So that's the second part. It's really talking to the people in your everyday reality and go, I experienced this, and it may not be fully grown in me, but I can feel it, and I want to nurture it. Would you be willing to support that? Would you be willing to support that? Go ahead.
I have to say this. I love this. And this is the number one. This is under make a commitment to continue to grow, correct? The one to get buy-in from people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I want to say, I would say that this is something, I call it debriefing. We debrief. We even debriefed in our quickening in the event, and I'm sure they do that with a lot of events and a lot of things that people go to.
Yeah.
They debrief. What did you experience? What came up for you? And what's interesting is I realized that with my husband, I had to debrief because he wasn't involved in the quickening in the event. And I did. I spent about an hour sitting there debriefing, and I didn't even know I was doing it at first. I just started talking about all the stuff, and he just sat there and listened to me. But I love even going a step further and mentioning that, this is something that I need to do, and also, are you okay with helping to nurture this in me the next couple weeks? Because I know that there's going to be some processing, which there has been. So I love that you're just bringing up, again, just communicating about that, just being open with them.
Exactly.
I love that, and I think that's such a key for us to be able to really allow that seed to keep nourishing. So, oh my gosh, I'm loving this right now.
Oh,
Beth.
Good.
This
I'm
is
so glad.
Perfect.
So glad. And one of the things I want to say is that there will be some home environments that won't want to support you.
Mm-hmm.
That'll just be true. But you can't know that unless you ask. Sometimes people will surprise you. And the home environment isn't the only, the end-all, be-all. It isn't like you won't be able to nurture this unless you have that. But oftentimes, and I really want you to really soul search about this, we have a certain listening or way we see the people at home. And unless you give them the opportunity to change, they won't. So it's the same thing. They're seeing you as the person you were, and you're seeing them as the person they were. And unless you can see them possibly different, they won't be different. So give them an opportunity to be different. It may not be, but give them the opportunity. Give them the opportunity. It doesn't mean anything about you if they're just the same way they were, but you might be surprised. So I like saying that because I've seen people be really surprised. Oh, my God, I didn't think they'd want to support me. And they did, you know. So give them a chance.
That's right.
Give them a chance. And, again, don't worry about it if they don't. I've got other things for you to do. But making a commitment is still essential to yourself if you don't have buy-in from the people around you. So number two is create a before and after reality check. That's what I like calling it, before and after reality check. And what I mean by that is, how was it before this new insight? And how do you want it to be now? So you come home and write it down. Don't just keep it in your head. I don't know. I remember where I heard this, but some workshop leader or something somewhere said, your mind is a dangerous neighborhood. Don't go there alone. You know, so don't keep these things in your head, because your head will do all kinds of crazy stuff with it. They'll do crazy stuff with it. So get it at least out on a piece of paper. So how were you being before? How do you see the difference? What's the differences you see in you? Because you're the main character in this play, right? So how are you being before, and how do you imagine yourself being in this environment, your home environment, with this new insight? Does that make sense, Jen?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Perfect step.
Okay, and again, because if you don't know how you were being, you can't see the change taking hold. And if you don't know how the change, this insight you got, this feeling, the seed, how it will change, like in for positive, then it's hard to see it and recognize it and celebrate it, okay, which is step five, but I'll get there. Okay, so step two is create a before and after reality check for yourself on paper. Step three is take the time to come up with strategies. Now, I see it sometimes in workshops and things that they do come up with some strategies to take home. I think it's a brilliant idea. But if it hasn't happened at the workshop, then it's your responsibility. Again, here you are, it's your life. So take the time, stop, and go, okay, what kinds of things can I do to create how I want to be? What kind of things can I do to create how I want to be? And then take the time to reassess. And these are things to see if those things that you decided on, I'll give you an example in a minute, but you always want to then reassess them to see if those things are working. And really, I'm serious, schedule this time in your calendar. Remember that what prevents us, that habitual busyness? Well, if you do not schedule in your calendar, that habitual busyness will take it over, guaranteed. Schedule in your calendar. So when I say take the time to come up with strategies, so here you are, you're getting buy-in from the people in your life, your regular, normal, everyday life, and you go, okay, I was really learning to speak my truth, and it feels so good, and I see what happens, and I really want support. And unless you tell them what kind of support you want, it's going to be really hard for them to give you support. You know, they can go, yay, honey, but then they may get triggered by you, you know, speaking your truth, and you know, all kinds of things can happen. So what are the ways? What are some strategies? So maybe you can tell the person in your house, this could be a strategy that you come up with. Look, I'm going to be doing my best to speak my truth, but I may feel really nervous about it. So if you'd be willing to just listen without saying anything until I'm all done talking, and then we can talk it all out, just so I can get it out. So can you see, Jen, how that's like an actual something someone can do to support you?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, and there's all kinds of things you can come up with, but as long as they're very clear, like in the workshops we teach, doable requests. It's like, what can the other person do to actually, like, it's clear, doable requests. okay, which is a whole distinction in itself. But they have to understand you or they're not going to be able to do it. We're so vague when we're asking people to do things for us, and it doesn't help. So other strategies you can come up with is maybe taking, I don't know, like, oh, my God, take a breather every day and go, you know, just really be with the energy that you felt in the event. Be with it. You can bring, we are amazing creatures. We can bring images from the past back and feel them in the present. We can. So if you can, you know, again, I'm just making up strategies. You're all going to have to come up with your own. But what are the kinds of things you can do to just bring that insight present into your life now? So that's the taking the time to come up with strategies.
Perfect.
Number four is look for, and this one is so important, and again, the habitual looking for the worst, like what's wrong, what's not working, in the worst possible scenario, that habit will keep you from doing this one. So you have to really pay attention. But number four is look for and notice all the little positive changes. Look for and notice. So remember, in number two, you're going to create that before and after reality check. So in the after part, you're going to see all the little things you imagine you would see if this new change was taking hold. So number four is look for and notice them. Look for and notice them. They're there. I guarantee it. Even if you did nothing, if you did none of this, those changes would still be there. But we do not look for them or notice them. So then definitely don't do number five, which is celebrate them. Because if you look for and notice them and then kind of ignore them, then they aren't. It's like it's all this stuff is an energy. And if you celebrate it, it expands that energy. You know how celebration, how that feels, right, Jen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So then if you look for and notice and celebrate them, that what prevents you that I talked about before, that habit of looking for what's wrong and the worst possible scenario, will start changing as well, because you go, oh my God, it is changing. Look at that. And one thing I've got to say is our standards are way too high about what we celebrate. Way too high. So lower your standards, lower your standards, and start celebrating everything. Start celebrating that little change where you thought about speaking your truth. I really want you to hear this. That thought about speaking your truth in the way you did at that event is a big deal. Do not let it go. Celebrate it. Because each time you celebrate that, that will expand it and it will get bigger and grow. So those are the five steps.
Yay. You know what? I just have to say, it really does. I love that you said celebrating, and we only have like two more minutes, but I want to say that the celebrating is huge. I even just did it with our flowers that I have around my house. I shared somewhere, but just thinking, I actually had the image. I was remembering, I was talking to these flowers, and I'm like, they weren't even the same flowers we had at the quickening, but I was remembering how important those flowers were to the event also, and even in gratitude. And I was in celebration of these flowers. I mean, something like that that you don't even think about. These things that we have around us are all there to help us remember and to celebrate the successes we have had.
Yes, and life. We are here to experience
life
and celebrate it. It's a beautiful example. Like the flowers, how often do we do that? Do it.
Never.
Lower your
standards. I mean, really.
And I love this. Lower those standards. Lower those
standards. That's the one time you really, really can lower your standards.
There you go. Exactly, right? That's why I like it.
Getting permission.
Really should. Exactly. Give yourself permission to lower your standards around what you celebrate. That's right.
I love that. This was so perfect. I see this being something to facilitate in any program or event that anyone's done. Like in a group in Facebook, I was just thinking we have a little group for the quickening on our Facebook, and I want to do it there, and also our alumni, and any other groups that we're in to actually instigate after we've gone through something, these five steps. I mean, this is so perfect, Beth. I'm going to utilize these in every event I have.
Oh,
so
good.
This was huge.
Good.
I just am so grateful for you pointing
these
out.
You're welcome. And don't forget the five things that prevent you, because honestly, unless you know that they will
undermine
they will undermine all these other things. So you have to watch out for them. Not like they're bad, but they're there.
Yeah, they're there, those little guys. Well, thank you so much, Beth, for this.
You're so
welcome. This is so perfect. I'm going to be sharing this everywhere because I truly felt this was so important for anyone that puts
good.
On events or goes to events, and we all do.
Yeah,
so
I think
thank you so much for everyone being on. We will see you next Wednesday. Thank you, Beth.
Bye, guys. You're welcome.
Love you.
Love you, too.